In Washington today, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell introduced a continuing resolution to avert a partial government shutdown and fund the government through early February. The top Democrat, Senator Chuck Schumer, said he backs it, and it's expected to pass soon and then head to the House for a vote before Friday. And the Senate also passed another bill, 8712, to overhaul the federal prison system. That now goes to the House, which passed a similar version of this bill back in May by a wide margin. NPR White House reporter Aisha Roscoe has a look at this rare outbreak of bipartisanship. Hi, Aisha.
Hello.
And start on this move to kick the funding bill down the road. Not uncommon, but the battle has been over the president's request for funding in this bill for a border wall. The Democrats say they want other kinds of border security. Last week ended with that extraordinary Oval Office meeting, Nancy Pelosi telling President Trump, take the funding vote. You know, it's up to you. But when Mitch McConnell announced the planned postponement today, he blamed Democrats. Let's listen.
Even in the face of a great need to secure the border and following good faith efforts by the president's team, our Democratic colleagues rejected an extremely reasonable offer yesterday.
Aisha, what offer is he referring to?
So this was an offer from McConnell that would basically be a full year of Department of Homeland Security, the funding bill for the Department of Homeland Security, so about $1.6 billion, plus another $1 billion for border security in general, but not really specified. The problem with that for the Democrats is that they called the $1 billion a slush fund, and they said that it could be used for, like, family separations, and so they refused to back it.
Okay, look, are there other things going on here? Because earlier this week, we were hearing that President Trump may be changing his mind on demanding the money for the wall and the funding bill.
Well, there seem to be some signals from the White House that they would be willing to accept something less than funding for the wall, and certainly less than $5 billion, and it has to be for a physical wall. And it seems like President Trump, even on Twitter, is kind of putting out this idea that, fine, we won't go through Congress, we'll just have the military build it, although, as everyone or experts point out, that would still require some congressional approval. The White House is also talking about getting money from different agencies, seeing if they could just find some money from other agencies and use that. But that also requires congressional approval. But it seems like the White House is trying to say, we'll just find another way.
Yeah. Well, we've also been hearing that many lame duck Republicans, those who lost in midterms, aren't even showing up for votes. You know, they're out sitting in cubicles and little closets and things because others have taken over their offices. Is there a sense here that Democrats know that they can play hardball?
Yeah, well, you had Nancy Pelosi saying, look, you don't have the votes in the House for this, for the wall. You just don't have them. And it appears, because what is happening right now, if this deal that Mitch McConnell has put forward, if that goes ahead, there's not going to be funding for the wall in that. And when you have a Democratic-controlled House next year, you're not going to get funding for the wall. And so it seems like whatever leverage President Trump has, it's only going down. And the likelihood of him getting that wall seems to be going down.
Yeah. Let's talk about the criminal justice bill. Again, this outbreak of bipartisanship. Why do both, liberals and conservatives support this?
There really has been kind of a general consensus on both sides of the aisle that the U.S. has been locking up too many people for too long, and it really hasn't been helping to reduce crime. Now, not everyone agrees with this, but a very wide range of people and lawmakers did agree that something needed to be done to kind of change the way the U.S. deals with sentencing and the way it deals with prisoners.
Yeah, it's worth remembering that it was during the Clinton administration that the federal government imposed these strict sentencing guidelines on drug offenses in particular, you know, three strikes and you're out for life, that kind of thing. This was in the era of increased crime, followed the horrible crack epidemic. But now, you know, it's seen widely as disproportionately affecting, African Americans. What are some of the things that the new bill will reverse?
So it reverses that three-strike rule that you talked about, the automatic life sentences. So now for a third strike, instead of life, you would get 25 years. So that's a big change. It also gives judges more latitude to not always impose mandatory minimums. So in certain cases, they will be able to kind of decide that maybe a mandatory minimum sentence shouldn't apply. Another big part of it is that there are these training programs and rehabilitation programs, and this bill would provide incentives for prisoners to take part in these programs, and that would help take time off their sentence. And it's supposed to prepare them for life after incarceration.
Yeah, it's a reminder of unintended consequences. And we just want to listen briefly to the Democratic Senator Cory Booker, who spoke about this on NPR this morning.
Something we fought for in the Senate and were able to get in is a whole array of sentencing reform changes that bring proportionality back or more proportionality to our criminal justice system, help to liberate people who have been unjustly sentenced.
And as we said, Aisha Roscoe, a bipartisan move to pass that bill. Aisha, thank you.
Thank you.